This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Sponsored by Saligi Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Good to have you with us on this Thursday, May 7th. The Gas House Gang until 1 o'clock, and we do it every weekday here on KMOX. Bernie Miklas and Chris Ranji today. It's, again, a nice day here in St. Louis, so it's great to talk some baseball with all of you after the Cardinals ended up splitting a series with the Brewers, and that was after the rainout of Game 2. So splitting that series there, now they will go on the road to take on the Padres. It's a late one tonight, 8:15 for the pregame show and a 9:10 first pitch on 104.1 FM and the Odyssey app. So Bernie Miklas, here we are. Cardinals, they are in second place in the division. They are playing some pretty good ball right now. Not everything is going well if you want to break down the team, but the results have been and the wins have been there. They are 21-15, 3.5 behind the Cubs in the division. But if you want to take a look at the standings, you want to look at the wild card race, they are right now in the second position in the wild card. So again, early in the season, the results are there. The wins are there. They are playing good ball while they are in the process of this this growth season, as we've been calling it.
Yeah, Ron, it's good to be with you as always, man. They're fortunate in a way because the fact that, you know, among the 15 National League teams, the Cardinals are 12th in terms of runs allowed per game. I mean, that's the kind of thing that if that like kind of lasts for a long, 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 long time, I don't see how they'll be able to keep.
It's not sustainable.
Keep the pace. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's not. And so that is going to be one big issue that's going to have to be resolved before, you know, I'm willing to sort of take them seriously as a contender, you know, as much as you can, you know, here in early May. But you know what I mean. I'm with you, and it's always fun to talk about. But the run prevention, which has nothing to do with the defense, just the run prevention because of the pitching breakdowns, you know, at both ends of the spectrum, too many of those. That's going to be a real obstacle to overcome. Another thing that I was thinking about this morning, might be writing something about it. The Cardinals, among National League teams, but specifically in the National League Central, the Cardinals have been very fortunate on the injury front compared to some other teams. The Cubs have been killed by injuries. The Reds have been killed by injuries. Milwaukee's been hit hard by injuries. And the Cardinals, you know, other than not having Lars Nootbaar all season to this point, they just haven't been hit hard at all by the injury bug. So I don't know whether over the course of the season that means they're going to have more guys headed to the IL. They kept them really healthy last year. Can you do that 2 years in a row? So that's one of the questions I have too. Is sort of the injury luck going to catch up with them because they've benefited from good baseball health? That's a couple of things. And then the one other thing and I'll be quick about this one. You know, the other thing is why I do believe that their home run power is legitimate because all the metrics support that. I don't see anything fluky with it, but I got to admit, I do wonder if they can sustain that as well. Because that's how they score their runs. As much as we talk about small ball, it's the power game that has elevated them in terms of their runs per game and also in the standings.
Well, the power thing, if they're going to be, some teams can get away with not being good in that area and score a decent amount of runs, but it's a lot harder to do that unless you're getting power. And that was the problem the last couple of years. They didn't have much of it. So in order for them to sustain it, you would have to hope that Jordan Walker keeps doing this, that we start to see a little bit more in terms of power from J.J. Weatherholt, who's been pretty great at this too. You know, I mean, Alec Burleson, is he a big power guy too? So, I mean, those are really the questions. Where does that come from? So to sustain it for an entire year, Walker and Weatherholt have to be a major part of it. And that's just assuming the two of them do that, then yeah, maybe they can. Maybe they can provide it all season, but that's a tough ask, I think, for both of them to want them to do it all year.
The key to their power, other than Jordan Walker having his breakout, is that the home run attack is really balanced, which I think is actually a better thing, rather than have it all consolidated in like two guys or something, two main guys. I mean, earlier this week, going into the Milwaukee series, the Cardinals were the only team in the major leagues that had five different guys with at least five home runs.
Yep.
And they had, and then Herrera was right there with four. But there are some guys, like the fact that Burleson has five home runs right now, that's good. I mean, Weatherholt's got seven. That's more than I expected. I don't know if he can keep that up. Gorman's got five. I think obviously he's capable of doing better. Herrera, who gets on base like a machine, but he has four home runs, and I got to believe that his home run pace will pick up. Nathan Church is a pleasant surprise with five home runs, but realistically, what are we talking about here? Can he hit 15 home runs this season, 17 home runs? I would be skeptical of that. I hope I'm wrong. I think there's a little more power there from Mason Wynn. He's only got one home run. So there are some guys, that can actually, I think, power up more than they have so far. And then it's the other part of it is, you know, hoping that the guys that have put up really good power numbers can keep it up for a very extensive length of time.
I want to go back to something you said about the injuries and this being potentially an unsustainable thing, that they're going to get hit by an injury bug at some point because every team does. They were a remarkably healthy pitching staff last year, and a lot of times that's where your injuries come from, is that pitching staff. A lot of arm issues, elbow, shoulder, whatever, all kinds of stuff can pop up. They were so healthy last year. It was amazing how they avoided the IL. I don't know that they're going to get that for a full season this year again, but so far, I mean, they've avoided it, which I'm not sure.
Yep.
I maybe it's a training staff thing. Maybe it just so happens they've got a collection of guys who are not prone to that type of injury. Maybe it's because they're being handled correctly. Whatever it is, they've been fortunate again in that area this season. And I don't know how to explain it away.
No, I do think that the way Ali Marmol and Dusty Blake handle the pitching staff, especially the starters, sometimes I think all teams overuse their key relievers during the season. I mean, if we can look at Ali and say, well, that, you know, there was a time there he used JoJo Romero too much, and it kind of had an effect on JoJo. Well, that's fair. But it also happens in a lot of other places. I mean, because it's just bullpens are so volatile, and all managers want to lean on their best guys, obviously. But the Cardinals, in terms of their starting pitchers, I think they, in the last 2 years or year and a month and a half, I think they've done a really responsible job of making sure to do what they can to limit injuries. One of the things is by using a sixth starter to give, on occasion, periodically, to give everybody an extra day of rest. The other thing they do, they don't limit them to innings per se, because I've heard you point out, and you're absolutely right, you know, we all make a fuss over the Cardinals starters needing to go deeper, and the Cardinals starters relative to the National League and Major League average, they're a little bit above average, actually. So we tend to look at this as like, this is only happening in St. Louis. No, this is a 30-team thing. Starters just don't go deep anymore. That's just the way it is. But I do think that they do a good job of monitoring the pitch count, not from the standpoint that a guy gets to a certain pitch count and that's it, he's out. But Dave Duncan used to talk about this to me. You know, not all pitch counts are created equal. Like if a starting pitcher has got a lot of trouble on the bases, like he's walking guys every inning, he's got to pitch out of jams, he's got runners in scoring position, the effort that you put into those kind of pitches take a lot more out of you than a guy that is kind of cruising through the first four or five innings and has a low pitch count, whatever. You can go with him because it's been a relatively stress-free thing. I think Dusty and Ali do a really good job of understanding the Dave Duncan principle that all pitch counts are not created equal. And the ones that have required extra intensity and extra effort and a lot more stress, that those kind of guys are the ones, or those kind of starts are the ones that cause trouble, and you got to be careful with guys.
Yeah, and they've been pretty good at avoiding stressful innings so far this year. I think that we all have concerns about the bullpen, other than the exception of a couple of different guys out there. Of course, you feel good about Riley O'Brien when he's been out there, but you know, there's a lot of emptiness. It feels like they haven't gotten good efficiency out of the bullpen, which means starters are going to have to work a little longer to help that out, unless they can make some sort of easy deal prior to the deadline where they're not giving up a whole lot of capital to make that happen. So I think we might start to see, and this is the thing that does concern me for this season alone, is that we might start to see a little bit more in the way of, I think, stressful innings on that starting rotation. And then once you get to the bullpen, the same kind of deal, if those pitchers start to wear down. But until that happens, I mean, you know, they've been able to get by, and it's been working so far. I do have this fear that's deep down that at some point it's going to catch up to him.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. The only pitcher of consequence this year that's they've had to wait on was Hunter Dobbins. But again, this isn't like he didn't even get injured under their care. He tore up that knee when he was with the Red Sox, and he had to rehab that. So the only pitcher that has missed considerable time on their entire staff so far, and I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but I don't even really count Matt Pouchard because he was a Rule 5 draft pick. He was a fringy guy anyway. So yeah, the depth is actually better than most teams have in terms of keeping guys healthy, and that sort of dovetails into what we were just talking about. That means at least for now, your guys aren't as beat up as a lot of other staffs are, including just about every pitching staff in the NL Central has had to endure a lot more turmoil and a lot more of guys, kind of getting beaten down and things like that, especially the Cubs. So the Cardinals have been fortunate in that area. And I will say this for their starters. I mean, there's going to be there's going to be a game every now and then where they're walking a lot of people. But they do a good job of staying efficient because they do limit their walk total. They're not a high walk team. They actually limit walks very well. And I would think that would make them more efficient. I think even more efficient than they have been. I think I don't know whether they're, maybe wasting too many pitches or whatever, but they get the ball on the ground a lot, which usually speeds up an inning. They do have a little bit of a home run issue. We saw that yesterday with Pallante giving up a 3-run blast in the first inning. But as long as the Cardinals starters don't start walking a lot of hitters and they're efficient that way, then I think they can keep them fresh to where they can start to stretch out a little bit.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is sponsored by Stewart's American Mortgage, home of the Bagel Loan, and by Celica Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
Cardinals head out on the road. Well, they're already out on the road. They've got the Padres tonight in San Diego, Petco Park. They will begin a 4-game series against the Padres, and the Cardinals on the road so far this season, 11-5. They have played some really good baseball away from home. They are an even 500 at home, which is kind of a backwards way to do it. Usually it's the other way around. You try to be around 500 on the road. You try to have a winning record at home. Cardinals have done it the opposite so far, Bernie.
Yeah, they have. And listen, these next four games in San Diego are going to be really interesting because the Padres have a good team. It's a team that was very quiet offensively, but they're starting to heat up. And if they have a lead going into the final inning, especially, it's almost kind of like drive home safely because they have the best closer in the game in Mason Miller. And their pitching's better than I assumed it would be. So that's a good club. They got a lot of momentum. They're staying on the Dodgers' tail. This will be a really telling series because the last time the Cardinals kind of faced a hot team on the road in a 4-game series was Pittsburgh, and they swept it. I don't think that'll happen here, but I hope so. But I tell you what, Chris, after that, and they get a day off after that, but then they go to Sacramento, and the A's are a pretty good club, and they that ballpark's really a kind of a pain in the neck and then some for visiting team pitchers. So my point is, I don't think that's going to be an easy series. So the Cardinals just have to keep winning enough to where they can avoid too many of these times where maybe they lose, you know, 5 out of 7, you know, 8 out of 11. You know, they have to avoid those kind of things. They've been really, really good about kind of stopping the bleeding when they've had to, and they're going to have to keep that up. So I'm really looking forward to see how they're going to fare against the Padres, who are a beatable team, but they're a good team.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned playing in Sacramento, and as you were talking about it, I'm thinking, you know, this would be a perfect time for Ollie to get ejected, because I don't know if you saw, was it Chris Cron who got ejected? And because they're playing in that minor league park and there's no tunnel behind the dugout, he has to walk all the way down, toward the outfield to exit the stadium because of the ejection, because he can't just go back into the locker room behind the dugout since they're playing in that minor league park. That's what we need. If Ollie's going to get thrown out, because we had the listener last week who said, Ollie, we need to see you fired up. We need to see you thrown out of a game. And that's a perfect time to do it. So he gets to make that slow walk to the outfield.
You know, yeah, I would like to see that too. And he's also entertaining when he gets thrown out, unlike a lot of managers who just, you know, calmly maybe say the wrong thing and then you get thrown out, but it's like it's not a big ceremonial thing where it's like a big to do.
Yeah,
Ollie's really good at that, so I kind of missed that part of him. You know, that the whole A situation is a joke. I mean, it has been even when they were in Oakland for the last 20 years. That ballpark was horrendous. Now they're building a ballpark in Vegas, and you know they could have had that thing ready for 2027. But instead, you know, they're playing in a minor league ballpark, second year in a row, and they're going to do it again in 2027. And where's the commissioner with this? I mean, if there's a timetable that would enable you to have your Las Vegas ballpark opened next season, and by the way, if there is a delay in the opening of the season for a labor war thing or whatever, they'd have even more time to get that ballpark done. So why are they lollygagging and hanging in Sacramento for a third consecutive year? It's an embarrassment to the sport. It really is.
I still can't get past the reality they let them leave in the first place. And I'm tired of sports leagues rewarding owners who intentionally tank their teams, rewarding them with allowing them to go to another city and build a new ballpark. It's the kind of thing that I wish these leagues would not allow. And I know that here in St. Louis, we know it all too well. But what they did, what John Fisher did in Oakland is the same thing. It's criminal that MLB then rewards him with, oh, yeah, of course, move to Las Vegas. Go ahead. We'll help you build a stadium, too. It should never happen like that.
I agree, although, you know, I don't know how to put this because I'm certainly not on the owner's side, not at all. But I've been around, a long time, and I go back to the days, you know, you had the Earthquake World Series and covering, you know, the Oakland A's and San Francisco Giants, covering some other A's teams. This is, I can remember, like, since the mid-80s, everyone out there was saying, look, they really need a new ballpark. They really, really need a new ballpark. And the problem is, unlike some other places where you can get public money, including Nevada, you're not going to get public money in California. Now, the owner absolutely can afford to pay for his own ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know that's not how the real world works inside the Major League Baseball universe. The public is supposed to, you know, make sure they have tax money and all kinds of goodies for the owners so they can increase their franchise value. But I don't know that they ever would have got anything built in Oakland. So, and I also think the San Francisco Giants bear some responsibility. Lou Wolf, the native St. Louisan, wrote this in his book. He was the A's managing partner for a few years. They thought they had a deal in San Jose, and basically they did. The Giants blocked it because the Giants wanted to control that whole area. So that's the other thing. It's not only that each individual owner is greedy, but you also have owner-on-owner crime. And that's despicable as well.
Well, that happens too. But the unfortunate thing for me is I've seen Oakland fans support that team, and they will support a good team. And you you give them a new stadium, they would have been out there for it. Bernie Miklas, Chris Ronji. We're going to talk to Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio in just a moment. We'll talk about the Cardinals National League Central and see what he thinks of the division.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is sponsored by Stewart's American Mortgage, home of the Bago Loan, and by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
It is time to get out to the Quiver River Electric guest line this afternoon. We bring in one of our favorites, a friend of the show, Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio. It's Bernie Miklas and Chris Ronji. We're talking Cardinals and MLB right now. Mike Farron, how's it going?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. Cardinals are in second place in the division. The wins have been coming. They are in a wild card spot, if you like to look at standings this early in the season. What do you make of the Cardinals' start this year?
I think it's been really encouraging in a lot of manners. I mean, I think this is a team that is likely to come back down to earth because I'm not quite sure that the pitching is as good as the results have been so far. But I think, you know, when we talked before the year, we felt like this was the season to try and build a core, right? And I think with the performance of Jordan Walker, I think with the performance of J.J. Weatherholt, with Mason Winn and Yvonne Herrera, like, you're starting to see what the core of the next good Cardinals team looks like. And I think that that's a super positive development, regardless of what the record ends up being at the end of the year.
Mike, Bernie, Miklas again, always wonderful to have you, my friend. Up there, that team up north, as maybe Cardinals fans would call the Cubs, what the heck is going on there? They're one of the most beat-up teams in the majors, especially the pitching staff. How in the world they've won three walk-offs in a row, eight straight wins, 14 in a row at Wrigley, on and on and on, a 14-game winning streak at home, seven times since a modern era began. This is only the seventh time. I could go on, but you get what I'm getting at. I don't know how they're doing it. How are they doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't fully know either because of how banged up the pitching staff is. I mean, listen, they still have two and a half, I would say really three pretty solid starters. You know, the Matthew Boyd injury is going to be significant because their depth is shot now, right? Like, there's – the good news is for them is that he's only out probably 6 weeks after he had a meniscus cleanup this morning. He got hurt playing with his kids, which will teach you to play with your kids, if anything, right? If you're a professional athlete, like, let them play on their own. No, I'm just kidding. Matt Boyd's like one of the best dudes you'll ever come across. Yeah. So, like, unbelievably good guy. But, yeah, I mean, you know, like, they haven't had Justin Steele at all this year. He won't be available until well after the All-Star break, after a setback in his Tommy John recovery. They're not going to have Cade Horton. We had to have a second significant elbow procedure after having Tommy John right as he got to Oklahoma in college. So there is a little bit of, hey, are they kind of keeping this piece together with, you know, baling wire and duct tape and a little bit of orange juice like MacGyver would? Yeah, I think that's the case. I think their front office has done a really good job of building bullpens over the years and building them on the fly. And I think that's what you're seeing is that that's been really one of their strengths to this point. I know yesterday they blew the save and came back to win. And their offense has been great. Like, they're averaging about six runs a game, I think, in this three-week stretch. And I don't think that their offense is going to take much of a step back over the course of the year. I think it's a good offensive team. So, you know, they're going to have to piece it together. But with the front of their rotation, it's decent enough that I think that they can stay competitive. And I do think that, like, the Brewers are going to be better than they have been to this point. Now that they're starting to get healthy in the lineup, I think you're going to see some improvements there. I think you're starting to see the Reds fall back, right? I think the Cardinals will come back to the pack a little bit. I think you'll see the Pirates because their defense is just so questionable. It's going to be a rough go for them at some point, even though their pitching is excellent. So I think they probably can hang around with it, but there's no doubt that starting pitching is going to be what they have to address come July.
let's talk about that Brewers team that you mentioned, because first of all, let me say this. As we talk about the division and we say, oh, the Brewers were in last place. I mean, yeah, they were in last place, but there's only a few games separation between them and the first place team. And everybody's over 500 in the division. So it's not like they were a typical last place team. We have talked about this so often where I just refuse to bury the Brewers, because every year in the last several years I've done that. They win the division or they're in the playoffs or whatever. Do you see them similarly, that this year, even though they were in last place just a couple of days ago, you cannot count them out?
100%. I mean, I think I think this is a chance to be a much better offensive team for the Brewers than we've seen the last couple of years. This version of Bryce Terang is better than the Bryce Terang that we've seen maybe in any portion of his career outside of August of last year, when he really got hot and hit a ton of home runs. Like, this is a really impactful offensive player. You know, they played the first 6 weeks of the season basically without Jackson Churio, and you guys got a front row seat to see what that looks like. And I think he's just scratching the surface of what's going to be a superstar career. And, you know, when you talk to people around the Brewers and they tell you, not only is he talented, but like, he does the things that winning players do, like, that really gets your attention. I think even if Andrew Vaughn is a tick below what he provided last year for them, it still gives them more depth. And at some point they're going to get Christian Yelich back. It sounds like he's going to start taking live BP here. So I think their offense is going to be a little bit better. They have enough talent, arm talent. They are a super deep organization, talent-wise, top to bottom. I mean, it's really one of the best farm systems in baseball. I think Milwaukee is well-positioned to be not just competitive, but to push at the front of that division. And, like, listen, the great starts or slow starts, like, take everything with a grain of salt. We're not even a quarter of the way through the season. A lot is going to change over the next 125 games. And I'm a big fan of the old adage that you can't win the pennant in April, but you can lose it. And certainly nobody in that division has lost it to this point.
Mike, I wanted to go back to the Cardinals, and here's my question. You know, Chaim Bloom has been adamant, and he, every time he's asked, and he's been asked a lot, because people are wondering, oh, hey, the Cardinals are better than expected. Okay, is he going to change his thinking? Will they be buyers at the deadline? And, you know, first of all, the Cardinals have 77 games before the deadline. Well, you know, let's tap the brakes a little bit. But if he does not change his stance, which I would be stunned if he did, how do they get better on the pitching side, on the run prevention side, with the group that they have?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think, you know, listen, I think what you would see him do is, I believe that he values bites at the apple, right? And I think that there are always depth moves that you can make that don't negatively impact your farm system, right? You may be trading guys that are prospects, but they're not necessarily ones that you view as core pieces going forward. So I think if he's in the mix in July, like, I think that they will add, but it will be modestly. And quite frankly, like, that's what most teams are doing anyway at the deadline, is adding modestly. Like, you know, as you look at it right now, like, who's going to be the best starting pitcher that's available at the trade deadline is a really fun game to play, because the answer might be Robbie Ray. You know, like, that's seriously, or Kyle Freeland. Like, those aren't necessarily the sexiest names, but, like, Kyle Freeland's a pretty solid pitcher. He probably doesn't cost you a ton unless there's suddenly a bidding war for Kyle Freeland. So, like, I think that that's – you can still do both, right? You can build the organization and not, you know, shortcut everything in an effort to go for it. You can improve the major league roster while keeping your path, the same path that you're on. And I think that that's the way that the smart executives handle it, and I fully expect that's the way that Chaim Bloom would as well.
Yeah, all you have to do is, you can make a deal. Just don't trade away Fernando Tatis Jr. when he's like 17 years old or 16,
I mean,
whatever.
In your draw at all, right? Like, that's, I mean,
right. That's exactly right. So, just in terms of where this division is and the rest of baseball, I'm very curious, because as you mentioned, or as we mentioned, it is the only team where all the only division where all the teams are above 500.
Yeah.
I don't think it means it's the best division by any means, but it is certainly the tightest. What do you make of the rest of the National League as all these teams are trying to compete?
Yeah, it's a little weird, right? Like, I mean, I think there's three pretty competitive teams in the National League West. I don't know if you guys know this, but the Dodgers might be pretty good. So, like, I think they're okay. You know, San Diego has clearly the best bullpen in the league. And, really, the Dodgers have some questions, I think. They've got some weird stuff going on. Like, you mentioned Tatis. He hasn't homered yet this year, even though his bat ball data is crazy good. It's like a lot of balls that he's barreled up to the opposite field. He's going to have to get some in the air side. It'll happen. But the Padres are decent. I think Arizona, if they can get their starting pitching figured out, they have a chance to be a decent team. And then the NL East, that's the one that I have a tough time figuring out, because I think the Braves are good, but they're probably not this good. The Phillies are clearly a team that's going to be in the mix. I think, you know, they've won, what, 8 of 9? They're 3 games under now. They're making a charge there. The rest of that division, I still think the Mets are going to get back closer to 500 and will be a factor. But I don't necessarily see Washington and Miami as it. So, you know, you're going to end up with probably 3 teams in the Central, 3 teams in the West, and 2 to 3 teams in the National League East competing for 6 spots. And that's kind of how I view the National League. It's a far cry from the American League, which I think coming into the year, we all felt like there was going to be far more parity in that. And like some teams, like the Angels clearly are not going to be in the mix. I don't think the White Sox are going to be in the mix at the end, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's like 12 to 13 teams that feel like come July, they still have a puncher's chance. Cause I just think the side of me, the Yankees, and I think Seattle is going to get going here. I think you're going to see a number of teams that are kind of stuck in that middle that are going to be really competitive. I should take Houston out of that mix too. They are so injured right now. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think they had to put Bill Doran on the injured list, and he hasn't even played for them since 1989.
Mike, another popular question, as you might imagine, in St. Louis is, you know, kind of fingers crossed, Jordan Walker looks like he's figured things out. But, of course, you prove it over the long haul. What do you make? Do you have confidence that what we're seeing from him is real, or more speed bumps ahead?
I think probably both. Like, I don't think it's going to be smooth sailing all the way through, just because it never is. But I think he's going to – I mean, is he a superstar? I find that hard to believe. I think he's probably more like a solid everyday corner outfielder who's going to hit you 25-plus home runs and knock in a bunch of runs. And I think he has proven that he is far more capable of being a middle-of-the-lineup bat than he did at any point over the last 2 seasons. You know, I think one of the things that was really interesting to me was he went through a stretch of about a week where all of a sudden the ground balls were back. What did he do? He made the adjustment, right? Like, he made adjustments. He's back to hitting the ball harder. Like, he's back to hitting it in the air. I think there's a lot of real positives with Jordan Walker. So I don't think he's going to be quite the superstar that there was a feeling he might be when he was a prospect. But I do think that he is a guy that is definitely a middle-of-the-order contributor on a championship-caliber team. I'll be one that's probably not going to a ton of All-Star games. I think he's a good player. Like, I think it's the star for the Cardinals is going to be J.J. Weatherholt. I think that's obvious, right? Like, that guy, like, he's an absolute superstar. Like, it's weird to have a superstar second baseman. It doesn't happen all that often. But, like, he's it. That's the guy. And then everybody else is complimentary pieces around him. And they've got pretty good ones with Herrera and Wynn and Walker in my mind.
Mike Farron, MLB Network Radio. We love talking baseball with you, my friend. Thank you again for being with us, and we will talk again soon. I know it.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys. Anytime. Take it easy.
Now, back to the Gas House Gang.
Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. Chesterfield Fence and Deck. And Budweiser.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
A few more minutes to go on the Gas House Gang with Bernie Miklas and Chris Ranji. Zachary is watching us on YouTube. You can watch on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. Find us at KMOX Sports. And Zachary, referring to the Brewers, says, I totally forgot you labeled them dead in like July of last year. LOL. Yep, I think it was me. There have been several times over the last 3 or 4 years where I've said the Brewers, That's it. That whole thing's over. And then here they are in the playoffs. Happens every year, Bernie.
you got the best front office in baseball. They find talent everywhere. And it's a lot of the moves are below beneath the radar. They're not big splashy moves. You know, they just know how to identify talent, but also talent that they can make better. And they're also ahead of the curve in a lot of industry trends. Look at how fast their outfield is. One mm-hmm. of the things they do is they save a lot of runs. Look at how much ground they cover in the outfield. They take away, you know, fly balls, even line drives. I mean, the other team just like has a hard time getting a ball down on the grass that's been in the air against that outfield because they're so fast. See, they do little things like that that you don't think about that much, but it really adds up over 162 games.
They are an impressive organization, and I will not count them out ever until they are out of it. I'm not going to do it. Bernie Miklas, nope. Good to talk baseball with you again today. I know you will be back for Redbird Rush Hour tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Yes, sir. And looking forward to it.
Be listening in to that. Looking forward to it for sure. For Bernie Miklas, I'm Chris Ranji. Again, thank you for listening to the Gas House Gang. This show is back tomorrow. Matt Pauly and Mike Claiborne are on it, and they'll be with you at 12 o'clock. So have a great rest of your day. Tonight, Cardinals play at 9:10, 8:15 pregame here on 104.1 FM KMOX.